Hello and welcome to this podcast from RT Radio 1 of Seascapes, presented and produced by Marcus Connaughton. You can email seascapes@rte.ie. Hello and welcome aboard Seascapes, your maritime programme. On this week's edition, we have our angling report from Paul Burke of Inland Fisheries Ireland, music with the classic Lord Franklin and the definitive version by the late Micheál O'Donnell. Mark Redden, artist and boat builder, designs and builds a curragh at the Australian Wooden Boat Festival in Tasmania. First on Seascapes this week to last weekend's gathering in the Oak Room of the Mansion House in Dublin, where Sail Training Ireland announced sail training opportunities for the year ahead and their inaugural award ceremony. The master of ceremonies on the day was writer, poet and sailor Theo Dorgan. Chairperson of Sail Training Ireland is Callan O'Leary.
Oh, we're very proud of the spirit of Oisthaven because, in fact, they're our premier member of the organisation, and they've recently, last summer, taken part in their very first tall ships race. There was a voyage from Oisthaven to Dublin where they joined the fleet for the festival in the city on the banks of the River Liffey. And I think they're hoping their voyage programme will be out shortly, and they're hoping to make it down to the Mediterranean for the tall ships 2013 race down there next summer, so that would be very exciting. Everybody dreams of sailing the seas on a tall ship, and that's what we're there for, to try and make that possible for them. So we would hope to promote the sail training voyages around the coast of Ireland, even though we don't have so many Irish flagged vessels at present, but with the spirit of Oisthaven now as a coastal voyage vessel, we're hoping to build on that.
And I suppose the links between Sail Training International and Sail Training Ireland are of tremendous importance.
Yes, that has been absolutely pivotal to our success and to preserving the legacy that Cuisht an Asgard left for us for sail training here in Ireland. Only for their support, I think we would have faltered. And I might add also the support of the Department of Defence and the Irish Navy, Naval Service, Dublin Port and, of course, Dublin City Council. They have been most supportive to us in our endeavours. Today we'll hear about the awards that we are giving to our young people, and to a lifetime award to Colin Newport and Finn Goggins for their service to Asgard 2, and also to the almost 600 voyage places that will be available around the Irish coast in the coming season for 2013. And we feel that's a great achievement, and we hope that's a legacy in the spirit of Asgard. The whole reason that we have this new organisation is to keep that legacy going and to make sure that the young people of Ireland continue to have access to tall ships and to sail training in the years to come.
Callan O'Leary, Chairperson of Sail Training Ireland. Peter Cardy is the Chief Executive Officer of Sail Training International.
And this is the great thing about the tall ships and about sail training all the year round, that everybody can sail who wants to, one way or another. And so what we're doing today is just reminding everybody that sail training goes on all the time, that it's not just the tall ships races, although that's the biggest event in our calendar. And of course, Sail Training Ireland is a huge supporter of Sail Training International. They really take the international role very seriously. And you can see that with the programme that they've put together, that they're not sticking to Irish waters or Irish vessels, but looking indeed worldwide to take young people sailing on these fantastic ships. It really is a life-changing experience. So the first time you realise you're out of sight of land, your first dawn or dusk at sea, it is just something remarkable. Looking up at the stack of canvas, realising that you're on a vessel that has to be completely independent of everything that takes place ashore. It's difficult to put it into words. It's magical, it's wonderful, and it really is life-changing. So many people come back after an experience like this feeling that they've turned a corner of some kind. People who don't have much sense of direction or much sense of hope. Very often disabled people who feel that they can't do much. People come back with a fantastic sense of optimism, self-confidence and determination. Asgard 2 lives in many, many people's memories. She was a very popular ship around the world, great ambassador for Ireland, did a huge amount for young people of Ireland. And so she's very greatly missed, and she is still in people's minds. And we're looking forward to the development of a new Irish sail training vessel.
Peter Cardy, CEO of Sail Training International. Next here on Seascapes to Oliver Hart, whom we met last summer at the Tall Ships Races in Dublin.
We had a great year last year. We came through our licence at the end of August, and we sailed up to the Tall Ships, and we joined the Tall Ships in Dublin, and we were very proud to be the only non-naval Irish representative at the Tall Ships. Through Sail Training Ireland, there have been a huge number of places made available on Tall Ships. So liaising with the Tall Ships International organisation and with various number of different organisations in the UK who provide Tall Ships. So there are a lot of berths available for Irish people. Some of them are funded by various bursaries and grants and so forth. And a huge number of opportunities now for Irish people to go on board Tall Ships. The legacy is very valuable and very important for the legacy has been bequeathed to the Sail Training Ireland organisation. It's something that we really treasure, and it's something that needs to be valued in order to be able to pass on that experience to future generations. We're launching at Easter, and we've got a busy program of training. We'll be doing trips up and down the southwest coast from Oysterhaven, Kinsale, Glendore, Castle Townsend, Baltimore, round the Fastnet, back to Oysterhaven. So there'll be 5-day, Monday to Friday trips. We'll be doing team-building training at weekends, especially for corporate groups. During July, we'll be supporting the Glendore Classic Regatta, and at Glendore we'll do a similar activity that we did in the Tall Ships. So we'll tie in with a group of our instructors under the auspices of the Spirit of Oysterhaven Trust, which is a not-for-profit organisation, and we'll tie in with the Access Sailing Group in Kinsale, who provide sailing for disabled youngsters, and we'll be doing trips in and out of Glendore, supporting the Classic Regatta there, and providing access for disabled sailors during that event. One of the highlights of our trip down to the Tall Ships in last year was a cry from the bow, "Dolphins ahead!" And everybody rushed forward, and there was a large pod of dolphins bouncing off the bow waves and swimming all alongside us. It's a great moment, a great uplifting moment to see these dolphins swimming along with us.
Oliver Hart and the Spirit of Oysterhaven, and you can find out more on the Seascapes webpage, www.rte.ie/radio1/Seascapes. Awards in the Oak Room on the day were presented to Dylan Nelson, who received the Special Perpetual Award. Fred Arntz received the Volunteer of the Year. Watch Leader of the Year went to Aoife Ledgewidge O'Brien. And Spirit of Asgard Burgess were presented to Spirit of Oysterhaven and the Irish Naval Service sail training vessel Credna. Next to Captain Colm Newport, who along with Finn Goggin received the Lifetime of Service to Irish Sail Training Award.
Currently I'm working on a project. I have a Colin Archer, a 12.5 metre Colin Archer. I'm sure you're aware of the pedigree of these as ocean-going vessels. I have it in Cork. It's in Kinsale at the moment. And we are refitting it with the hopes of getting a Comsail 30, which is a commercial sail licence issued by the Department of Marine Survey Office, which will allow us to take 8 trainees, stroke passengers, and 2 crew up to 30 nautical miles offshore. We are really spoiled with some of the best cruising grounds in the world. You just have to look at West Cork. And 30 miles will allow you to get out onto the ocean. I mean, there's not many people actually have been 30 miles onto the Western Ocean. And you will feel the swell, and you will definitely get the feel of being all at sea. We have beautiful unspoiled cruising ground, great fishing ground, recreational fishing ground. And it's my hope that we will do, perhaps as we fledge out, we will do 5-day voyages out of Kinsale. Hopefully going further north, and to the future it would be great if we could do some high latitude and offer that to people of Ireland. It's a very heavy traditional vessel. It's a lot of heavy work. It's not a glorious vessel like the Asgard. It's under half its size, but there is a lot of heavy manual sailorising to be done on it. If the opportunity presents, take it. As you know, further on in life, you get bogged down with mortgages and business and time. Take it. If you're given an opportunity to go on a tall ship, take it. Sail Training Ireland have a good database of ships that are available, and you can speak to anybody here in Sail Training Ireland, to Michael or Callan, and I'm sure they look after you. There's also a nice fleet in Scandinavia, and you will always find something to suit yourself. And I would say, if you go on one of these vessels, be prepared to get stuck in. Don't wait till the last day of your voyage and say, oh, I should have went aloft. It's too late. Do it right from the start. Overcome your fears. It's your one chance to be a blank sheet of paper. Get out there and enjoy yourself. And in a vessel like the Asgard, and I hope like my own vessel Lista, it's like a bridge between the ship and the shore. You are not necessarily teaching people to become sailors. A lot of the people who come with us will never go further to sea. Some of them do, some of them don't. But it's an actual bridge. It's an insight for a shoresider. For instance, if we go tie up and we tie up in Baltimore, we could be tied up outside fishing vessels that are working through the night and may have to leave through the night or arrive early in the night. The trainees have to get used to this. They actually see it's a living industry, and we have a living industry at sea, and it is really a link or a bridge between the sea and the shore.
We'll keep you posted on the progress of Lista, and we'll be talking again to both Captain Colm Newport and Finn Goggin. One young lady who has a particular reason to remember the Asgard II and the Bay of Biscay was a sail trainee on the vessel when she was lost at sea. Awarded the Trainee of the Year award, Holly Byrne spoke to Seascapes about the voyage from La Coruña to Dublin aboard the Stavros S. Niarchos with Captain Liam Keating at the helm.
It was a really nice experience. It was hard because the last time I was on a ship it sank. So this time it was kind of to get over that and to kind of push myself to get back on a ship again. And the people that were on that ship were so supportive. They were just absolutely lovely and, yeah, just so supportive. It was such a lovely experience and a feeling to sail on a ship up the Liffey again, and also with an Irish captain at the helm as well. That was just unbelievable. I never thought it would happen again, and to be a part of it was just something really special. As I said in my speech earlier, kind of an interesting voyage up the bay because we had the tail end of a storm, so it had been scheduled to take us about 5 days to come up. But unfortunately, it took 2 days. So there was a lot of seasickness experienced by everybody. But the crew were unbelievable. And like none of the ships got through that lightly. There was ripped sails and everything. But everyone was just so supportive to each other. And the spirit on each ship never dimmed. And it was great to come into Dublin. And the wildlife, well, on the Stavros, we did see some penguins. When we got into Waterford, some of the lads picked up a few penguin suits and we used them for our crew parade in Dublin. So I think it went down quite well with the crowd as well. It was something different.
Now, you had a terrific captain on board as well, Liam Keating, known to so many sail trainees. Very gregarious, larger-than-life character as a ship's captain.
Yes, he is very larger-than-life. He's a very competitive person as well, as we all learned from the moment the gun went and we had to go over the start line till the moment we got into our spot on the Liffey. He was an unbelievable captain, and he made sure everybody was safe, and he didn't push the ship too much. And we didn't, to be honest, I think we actually came out of that storm the better. Like, we didn't have any injuries to any people, we didn't lose any sails. The worst that we had was just the seasickness, and to be honest, that was amazing under a captain like him. I'm not going to stop, that's for sure. I think I've gotten over my initial fear of getting back on the sea, and I think the bay really helped with that, being so stormy and everything. I think any voyage after that can only go better.
And as Theo Dorgan, who was doing the emceeing here today, he was delighted to hear you curse the Bay of Biscay, because it's one that most sailors don't like. It's like a washing machine at the best of times.
Yeah, it really was. And I think the way that the storm hit the bay, I'm surprised that we all made it up, to be honest, into Dublin and everything. And the minute we got into Irish waters, it was so much calmer. But it's an interesting bay, and it's been an interesting two trips I've had on it. So I think I'll avoid it and try a few different seas around. I actually started off sailing when I was about 12, 14, and I sailed with college. I went to Trinity for 4 years studying geography and sciences, and I sailed with them as well. And they were great. The events were brilliant, held all around Ireland. We definitely left our mark wherever we were. So, I do love the sailing in every shape and form. The friends that you meet are great. The ones that you meet when you're doing normal dinghy sailing to the ones that you meet when you're on a tall ship, they're something that you can't make anywhere else, and they're all absolutely brilliant and they support you no matter what.
Sail Trainee of the Year, Holly Byrne. Next week on Seascapes, we'll hear from Peter Cardy, CEO of Sail Training International, and we'll be hearing from Michael Byrne of Sail Training Ireland on those opportunities to sail aboard a tall ship this coming year, including an Antipodean adventure. Speaking of that part of the world, Mark Redden, artist and boat builder, is a guest of the My State Australian Wooden Boat Festival in Tasmania to demonstrate the boat building techniques used to build a traditional curragh. Following completion of a diploma in sculpture, Mark learned the craft of curragh building while working as a boat builder's apprentice in Uachtaráin in Galway. He subsequently built boats throughout Ireland, in Barcelona and Norway. Over the past few weeks, local Tasmanian boat builders are trying their hand at building a curragh under Mark's watchful eye. The finished product will be one of the many displays at the Australian Wooden Boat Festival in Hobart in Tasmania over the weekend of the 8th to the 11th of February. You can see more of Mark Redden's work on the Seascapes webpage, www.rte.ie/radio1/seascapes. Next to this classic from the late Micheál O'Donnell, Lord Franklin.
'Twas homeward bound one night on the Nee, swinging in my hammock I fell asleep. I dreamed a dream and I thought Sir Franklin and his captain crew, 100 seamen he sailed with. The frozen ocean mournful made to seek a passage around. They made me strong. The ship on mountains of ice was drawn. Only the Eskimo in his skin canoe was the only one that ever Baffin Bay, where the whales go, fate of Franklin or man. Thank you. long lost Franklin I crossed the main. 10,000 pounds would I free give. Say, oh, my friend.
The sound of Lord Franklin with Micheál O'Donnell and Kevin Burke. Now to angling and to the headquarters of Inland Fisheries Ireland in North County Dublin, where we can hear from Paul Burke.
It certainly has been wintry weather over the first few weeks of the year. But as always, anglers have been out catching fish on inland waters and at sea. The more harsher weather conditions has cut down the amount of angling activity. But mainly pike and sea anglers have been out catching their first fish of the year. Since the capture of the first two salmon on the River Bundrows on the 1st of January, there have been no further reports, even though the Laon and Corran lock fisheries have been open for angling since the 17th of January. There have been a few anglers out catching rainbow trout on fly at several fisheries around the country. And there is a full list of rainbow trout fisheries to be found on our angling website at www.fishinginireland.info. A few hardy coarse anglers have ventured out in the waters in the Cavan, Monaghan and Fermanagh lakelands, and some roach and hybrids have featured in recent catches. More inland water anglers are concentrating on pike angling at this time. And there's been some fine fish recorded by shore anglers again in the Cavan and Leitrim areas. Boat anglers have been getting bigger fish in the bigger lochs like Ree and Endel in the Midlands, and fish up to 25 pounds were recorded in recent weeks, as well as some fine perch up to 2 pounds. Mullingar angler Philip Smith recently won a Catch of the Week award with the 25-pound pike. The annual Winter Shore Angling Festival took place earlier this week in very rough conditions at various venues around the Wexford shoreline. 60 brave anglers from the UK and Ireland were fishing this popular event, and flounders and rockling featured in catches. Former world champion Chris Clark from the New Forest in England won the overall individual championships, but Irish teams won the two-man and four-man team events. Recently, a bunch of Wexford anglers boat fished with skipper Butch Roberts out from Kinsale at the weekend, and they enjoyed catching some fine haddock, cod, ling and whiting. The best catch was a fine specimen red gurnard for John Young, who won the Catch of the Week award last week. At this time of year, there are many good angling shows taking place both in Ireland and abroad, and there will be much to attract the novice and expert angler alike. The first of the Irish shows is Hooked Live, which takes place this weekend on the 2nd and 3rd of February in City West. The second show, the Ireland Angling Show, takes place in Clochran in Swords on the 16th and 17th of February, in conjunction with the presentation of the Irish Specimen Fish Awards, which will be held in the nearby Bewley's Hotel on the 16th. Our Minister, Fergus O'Dowd, TD, has been meeting many angling groups around the country recently and hopes to be at boat shows to meet up with more anglers. Sadly, the chairman of the Irish Specimen Fish Committee, Trevor Champ, has recently passed away after a short illness. A great former colleague and friend of mine, Trevor was a great environmental scientist with us in fisheries and will be long remembered as a great enthusiastic man fighting the cause of clean water in our country, particularly on waters like Lough Shielan. Er yesh de gareva anam. We all sadly miss him.
This week on Seascapes, we also remember the late Eamon de Butler, an inspiring naturalist, musician, broadcaster and seafarer. And also Oliver Lynch, who passed away last week. He was the last permanent customs officer in Kinsale. During his time, Oliver was more than just a customs officer. He was very aware that he was the first person long-distance seafarers would meet when wanting to come ashore. Oliver used this opportunity to be a goodwill ambassador for his country, and particularly Kinsale. Just a footnote to our recent visit to Port Magee in South Kerry. Cromwell Point Lighthouse on nearby Valentia Island is to open to the public from Easter, Ted Creedon writes in the latest edition of Marine Times. Trinity House began the construction of the building in 1837 on the site of a star-shaped fort built by Cromwell's forces in the mid-17th century. Cromwell Point Light became operational on this day in 1841, before the building was completed in 1842 at a cost of £10,846. The light became automatic in 1947. The owners are the Commissioners of Irish Lights, who are leasing it to Kerry County Council. It's believed the building will be managed by a local group when it opens to the public. That Sea Shanty Festival in Port Magee this year runs on the 4th, 5th and 6th of October. You can see Brian Carlin's action photographs from earlier this week on the Seascapes webpage as the world's leading windsurfers tackled the waters off Castle Gregory in the Red Bull Storm Chase. Next Friday night on Seascapes, we'll be talking with Michael Byrne about those adventures under sail aboard tall ships. Alwyn Gill has the latest on the islands from Inishmore. We'll have copies of the recently published Old Achill Island by Hugh Oram, and we'll be talking to the author. All that and much more here on Seascapes. Until next Friday night, tight lines and fair sailing.